Welcome to Podheim, Jirok's Valheim podcast. Let's give him the business.
Hey, everybody. Today is March 25th, 2024. I'm your host, Jirok the Viking, and joining me today is Gwen the Shield Maiden.
Hello. Howdy, howdy.
We also have Shield Maiden Morning Darkness.
I'm sorry, Gwen. You said that, and all I could think was Woody from Toy Story. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Yes, maybe.
Well, good to have you back, Gwen. I know you've been busy and you missed the last podcast episode. And I see you
intentionally. Intentionally. Right. I didn't want to get spoiled on Ashland stuff.
We did hard on one of the Ashlands updates because they revealed so much in one of the, the dev blog it was, I think.
Yeah, I know. And I tried to stay away a little bit from, I get bits and bobs of information and that's fine. I just don't want to have the meaty bits revealed, like, you know, too much of the new weapons and armor. So I deliberately stayed away because I knew it was a hot week for news on Ashlands. But I'm sure you all had a great time speculating and looking at all that new information. So,
well, we also talked a lot about some other games too.
We did talk a lot about some other games. There's a lot going on in the gaming industry right now. I can't even, when I sit down to play a game or make a video, I can't even decide because there's like six or seven games to, I could, like, what should I make a video about today? I don't know. Well, I also wanted to point out Gwen has organized her background of her new place that she moved into. And look, you've got all your little decorations in the back. You got your shield. You going to ever paint that shield?
Yes.
That's going to be rainbow colored, right?
Uh-huh. I've got all the paints, the little samples of paints ready for me. I was kind of waiting until the weather was nicer so I could paint outside, but I don't think that will ever happen because I live in the UK. So I will just get on with it. I think just put lots of newspaper on the floor and inside my house and do it.
Nice. And I see
you got those fancy beams in the background too with your house.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those are, I can't move them. So they're there. Why not make a feature of it?
I mean,
I got this room is my kind of, so here is my desk and there's lots of space for crafting. And behind me hidden is the messy craft desk with my sewing machine and all of that. And you probably can't see it, but on the floor, there's fabric that I was cutting earlier. So the room is functional. It's still not where I want it to be. Like I'm not super happy with how things look, but at least, you know, at least I'm showing off my helmet again, my RGB light helmet.
Yeah. And it looks cool.
Baby Yoda behind next to it.
And is that curtain over your left shoulder on that side? Is that just to hide stuff you don't want us to see?
No, this is all windows. These are all...
Oh, okay.
There's a big window there and another window behind. So it's all windows. And I did change the curtains up. They used to be much darker. Now it's just like curtains that were here. I just changed them up. But maybe I'll do something funky with that as well. Like maybe some lights, RGB lights on the curtains to make them more interesting or something. We'll see. I keep those closed because otherwise you see the street and all the cars and stuff that will be distracting.
yeah. No, it looks nice. It's fun to decorate with your stuff. That's one of the things I had a hard time with because of the way my desk is. Really, I have these giant shelves on either side of my desk in front of me that are completely decorated and I got like lights on them to highlight stuff. But you can't see it because the camera's looking at me this way. I'd have to set up a special camera behind me to look at all this cool stuff. So I end up putting up the movie posters. Yeah. Spin around you see that they'll be sitting there like this.
That's going to be your new intro. You're going to be doing the the James Bond villain turning around in your swivel chair.
Oh, I can't twist my mustache anymore. the twirling mustache. well, let's see. And just to point out, we finally, after three filters, got MD's green screen chroma keyed out. So we can see our beautiful build.
I don't know.
MD, can you give us a preview of some of the stuff we're going to cover today?
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about a few things, some totally surprising and some completely expected. All right. So first of all, Arc, the animated series. I saw an advertisement for that, so we'll talk. Baldur's Gate 3 news that is maybe sad for some, maybe not surprising for others.
Yeah.
fun Valheim news and updates and new merch.
Yep.
Valheim's got new merch. Surprising birch tree mechanics in Valheim. Well, I have comments on that one too, but
yeah.
And Jirok filmmaker.
Yes, I have an update about my new YouTube channel, but we'll get to that. Let's see. Before we do, of course, we always got to say hello to sponsors because they keep things going. So if you need a new computer, consider Zydax. They do a great job and they warrant their computers for the life of the computer, parts and labor. So that's cool. And don't forget Grimfrost, jirokthevikings.com/Grimfrost. They actually make some of Valheim's merch. And they have a bunch of great Viking merch of their own. And then, of course, if you need a gaming server, G-Portal, you can save 10% if you use my link. There it is, jirokthevikings.com/G-Portal. And so, Gwen, you missed the last podcast because you didn't want Valheim spoilers. So you must have a lot of things that you've been up to share with us.
Yeah, so because I think last time I was here was almost exactly a month ago. In that month, I was busy. I did a little trip to Wales. Yeah, exactly. Did a little trip to Wales, kind of my favorite place. I feel like every holiday I do in the UK is in Wales. It's just a lovely area. I was actually on the border of South Wales and England, an area where there's a lot of castles. A lot of beautiful Norman castles, mostly because the Normans tried to invade Wales many, many times and kind of failed because of just the nature of Welsh warriors and their guerrilla tactics, but also because Wales is one of the places in South of England where you actually have mountains, so you know the terrain is kind of difficult to navigate and so on. There's marches and there's bogs, like boggy areas, and there's also like mountains. So it's an area, beautiful area, beautiful scenery, but also lots of castles, which of course I love. And that trip was mostly because I was invited to a reenactor friend's wedding. So when a reenactor gets married, you can imagine they usually try to involve or bring in some of their passion for history and things like that into their wedding. So the wedding was at a castle, and it was beautiful. It was a lot of the guests, the friends invited were reenactors as well. So we were told that we were allowed to bring our swords. for the ceremony.
Bringing a sword to a wedding, that sounds awesome.
Yes. So for the picture opportunities and so on. And there was also a knights tournament with the groom, as well as some of the guests who are very experienced sword fighters and reenactors. So we got to see the groom actually fight on his wedding day, which was epic. And the wedding was beautiful, and it was kind of like a strike of luck, I guess, because it snowed that day. So castle in the snow and all of that. So it was really beautiful. So that part of the trip was really fun. I also, I went with my friend. I was basically a plus one. I wedged myself in that wedding because it sounded so cool. And I was like, I want to go. I went as a plus one with my friend, and I was like, yay. We did a whole trip. We visited captured eight castles in a day. I can't remember if I mentioned this game before, but within my reenactment society, we have like a conquer the castle game.
Yeah.
So you can go and like capture castles by taking a picture with your heraldry. So we did that in a day, 8 castles, because there's just so many in the area. And then stopped by to see our blacksmith friend who forged something for me for a future video project.
Uh-oh.
He made a teeny tiny sword.
Oh, which is look at that.
So cute. I don't know. I'll try to. Oh, no. I keep forgetting.
No, I can see. I can see it.
So I don't know. I'll try to. I don't know how I can make it focus on.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's cool. That's a lot of detail on that.
Yeah.
And so what is that made out of?
So it's actually forged with iron. So the blade is iron, and then the mini handle is wooden.
Okay.
I'm terrible at this. I could not be a makeup tutorial YouTuber. Really. I do not know how to do this. I think it's just too bright. Maybe it's
It needs like a dark background.
But so it's Barbie sized.
Cool. Yeah, it is. Barbie sized.
Yeah. So. So yeah, so we spent an afternoon at the forge, and I took loads of videos of this being made, and it will be one of my future video projects, or one part of it. So that was good fun. Other than that, I also I got to say, you'll like that, Jurok. I got to see another orchestra concert, and this time it was the London movie or film orchestra, I think it's London Film Orchestra, that was doing Hans Zimmer and John Williams' greatest movie scores. So it like two of the best composers for the film industry, and so it was they did all the classics from Star Wars to Gladiator to Jurassic Park to Jaws, like everything, and it was really, really cool.
Wow. Did they have screens up showing footage, or was it just the audio?
They didn't have screens up. I think that would have really enhanced the experience, because then you get like not only the music, but also like the clips. The memories and the clips would have been great. But instead they just had like lights, like
the it was light kind show. Of
like, yeah, a light show. And it was in a large hall, like a ballroom type hall, so the light show was quite nice with like reflecting on the building in the hall and stuff like that. So it was that was really nice. Some of the classics, like Inception, Interstellar, that score is just beautiful. It gives me the chills every time.
Yeah,
like seeing them hearing them live played by an orchestra is amazing. So so they did I went to see that. What else did I do? I did a lot of reenactment related stuff, like now that the weather's a bit nicer, a lot of training and helping a lot of people in my group to get their first kit sorted, so a lot of crafting, a lot of sewing. I also unfortunately lost my bag, I should say, which had my wallet and my house keys. So that was a bit of a bit of a stress thing.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it was, I forgot it on the train. I immediately realized as soon as I got off the train, but by the time I realized, turned to get back on the train was leaving. And essentially
not recoverable.
Well, I tried to I was talking to the staff from the railway, and they tried to find it and recover it. But by that point, my bag was picked up. At least my wallet was picked up by a teen who tried to use my card in a chicken shop. I know, because I blocked my card and I saw the notification on my banking online banking app that someone tried to use my card, but obviously it wasn't, the card transaction was blocked. And so that really made me angry. The fact that all they did was try to, it's like, if you're going to steal a card or steal a wallet or a bag or something, at least try to buy something cool, not just freaking fried chicken. So lame. So that was a thing.
That's like one of my worst nightmares, is losing my wallet or my keys or something.
It's such a pain, because you then it's all the admin that goes with it, right?
You have to cancel everything. You have to renew your ID and all that stuff.
Yeah, so that's a bit of a pain. But it's fine. It's weird. It's like the first time in my life that I forgot my bag, and I just felt really bad for it. But it happened, so all good. Most things were replaced. But yeah, on the more positive note, on my channel, I finally posted a video. Yay! I'm still working on so many videos and so many things that I'm editing, but that are like long term, much bigger editing projects. I think last time I was on the podcast, I mentioned something to do with medieval dynasty food, and that's still like in progress in terms of the editing. It's just, you know, it takes a while. As well as this has been ongoing since like last summer, where I did like the first part of what's needed for that video. And so yeah, I have recorded a lot of footage. I just need to take the time to edit. So I'm hoping that I'll get one of those videos out in the next couple of weeks. But I did manage to get a video out, and I don't know if maybe I should not talk about it now, because I know we might mention it later.
Oh yeah, we're going to be talking about that subject. Yeah,
so maybe I'll get back to this later.
So people got to stick around and watch exactly all the way to then, because her video is actually really funny too. I loved it. Nice. A lot of character in it, in your video.
So yeah, so that's
yes,
what's
that
been
one.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that one.
Well, don't you have a we'll talk about it more, but you have a supporters only video too. That's like a follow up to that video.
Yeah,
and
bloopers.
That's great too. Yeah. So become a supporter and get to see the extras. It was awesome. cool.
When bloopers are the best.
Yeah.
I embrace the embarrassment and the cringiness. The recording
video. That's
videos,
what you have to do.
So cringe. It's always so awkward. Ugh.
That's like acting 101, you know, because I went to college to become a filmmaker, I had to take some acting classes as well to understand, you know, that side of the camera. And yeah, you have to be willing to humiliate yourself. Like you have to have no inhibition. Just don't worry about humiliation, because that's what people want to see. It makes it more fun that you're just able to laugh at yourself for the goofy stuff and the silly stuff. But awesome. We'll get to that some more. MD.
Yes.
You have a few updates for us, don't you?
Not much. I've been boring since the last podcast.
I doubt that.
We are starting our D&D one-shot playtests. And so I've explained this before, but I'll describe it as quickly as I can. Mm-hmm. We are doing a mega dungeon crawl at a local convention in May. And it is 5 GMs, 3 acts, 10 stories, and then we all come together at the end for a 30-player mega battle.
Wow.
And so Act 1 is 5 different stories with tables that can interact with each other. And you have 5 or 6 players per table. And then we have, and so that's Act 1, then we have an intermission with a little narrative scene. And then Act 2, same thing as Act 1, with more. And then we pretty much immediately go into an interactive narrative where people get to roll dice. We say, hey, players, what do you want to do? See if you succeed on what you want to do or not. And then the GMs get together and we respond. And then we just sort of describe with the little bits, the successes or the failures that the players have. Everyone gets to have a heroic moment. And usually we go from like, it's a D&D 5e homebrew sort of thing. But we go from feeling like you're level 3 to like you're fighting a god or an ancient dragon. And so there's quite a progression over the course of 8 hours. And for everything to work, we have to playtest each little 2-hour vignette. And so we've been bringing people in, doing one shots. A lot of people from my Discord and my community have been coming in remotely, like Legion. Legion has been to both of our playtests so far, which is just delightful. It's just delightful. So yeah, it's been, but that is such a big project. I do all of the crafting, all of the scenery, all of the mini painting. And then I also GM my own story.
Have you thought about possibly trying to record any of that to share with the world?
Not the playtests. No.
Well, maybe. Well, yeah. I mean, those could have an element of play, but what about the real thing? Like when you finally are ready for, you're out of beta testing.
This has been asked. So,
because it sounds like something I'd want to see.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So first of all, we don't record the playtests because they're real rough. And there's a lot of IRL names and, you know, there's my child running around, like I don't have a babysitter. Yeah, yeah. So it's very, very, very casual. I do record them, but those are only for the other GMs to be able to see what's going on and share the information if not everyone can show up.
Yeah.
And half actually showed up to this last playtest too. For the actual event, it's 40 people in a ballroom in a hotel. It is so noisy. Like we would have to have extremely specialized camera equipment and sound equipment to be able to get what all is happening without just an absolute insane amount of cacophony. So no. We'd probably have to spend $5,000 on recording equipment to be able to record the event itself. But I will try to get a couple of videos with permission of everyone of the final event so I can post them just for you to see, J-Rock.
Yeah, it sounds cool. I'd love to see the scope, just like to get even if it's like a 15-second clip just of what the scope of the event is. That would be cool.
Absolutely. I will work on that.
Yeah.
And then did I mention the amount here, what we raised for International Women's Day?
No, because on the last podcast, you had just mentioned that it was coming up in a few days.
Right. Okay. So the last recording was the week of. Okay. So Friday of International Women's Day, Gwen helped with some of the promotional stuff, and she couldn't make it to the actual event. But we did the event, and then I did my normal NoMap 4-hour stream later that night. So over the course, the event was supposed to take 3 hours. It took 6. Well, okay, hear me out. We had to fist fight 3 Eikthyrs. We had to kill, I think, I forget what weapon we used for Elder. I think it was the Atgear. Anyway. We fought 3 Eikthyrs, 3 Elders, 3 Bone Masses, 2 Motors, 2 Yagluths, and 2 Queens.
Oh, wow. That's
each intense. With a specific weapon chosen by chat.
Mm-hmm.
And we sailed to each location.
Oh, so it took a while, yeah.
I mean, I was able to find a map where all the bosses were really close. You know, it was really, it was absolute chaos. I did highlight the entire event on my channel, so it'll be on Twitch forever. If people want to go and see the chaos, that is available. But we were able to raise, over the course of 10 hours, $4,128.69.
Wow, that's awesome.
For women, for women. And so, you know.
And your goal was 2,000, 3,000. Right?
No, the goal was 3,000.
Yeah. So smashed it out of the park. Well done.
It out of the park, yeah.
Yeah.
And for a great charity as well. A charity that actually makes an impact and makes a change.
Huge impact. Mm-hmm. And so first of all, I wanted to say thank you both for everything that you both did. You know, J-Rock, you helped to get the word out. You were there. You made a donation. Gwen, you helped with a lot of the promotional pieces, the really, honestly, the stuff that I just am absolutely miserable at. you helped promote it as well. So I just wanted to say thank you to both of you for, you know, being there and supporting the event. It meant so much to me. And it also was the mark of exactly 2 years before the first time I ever hit live on Twitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which was also for an International Women's Day event,
which was
broadcasting on his channel, and it was It was a bunch of us from Jirox community and server doing like a bus run, and that was really, really good fun as well. But yeah, well done for raising so much money, Morning Darkness, and everyone else who was involved. There was 10 people? 10 Twitch streamers, mostly?
So sorry. It was 8 other Twitch streamers that were able to come. Yeah. And women from all over the world. And it was it was just absolutely delightful. And I was going to say something else, and my dog's barking just chased it out of my head.
Oh no.
Well, if it comes back to you.
Right. Oh, there you go. Today is actually the official day that I went live on Twitch to be a streamer.
Mm-hmm. 2 years ago today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Happy streamiversary.
Yeah. Well, I would have never thought in a million years that I would have done something like this. But on April 3rd, we're going to be celebrating when I actually became an affiliate. So, that's coming up for me as well. Oh, gosh, I got to finish planning that. Anyway, so that's me.
How about you, Jirox? What did you get up to?
Well, like she's saying that she became a streamer, you know, I did obviously the same thing, just decided to, you know, because I, you know, as a filmmaker, I was always trying to make, you know, the big content for, you know, cable and TV and cinema or lots of corporate work and putting myself in front of the camera. Like I didn't want to, you know, see me out. That's why I wore sunglasses when we started you know, just try to keep my identity hidden, and the beard helped because it, you know, hid the lower half, the sunglasses hid the upper half, and then all the various hats. But you know, doing the gaming channel and just seeing how nice the community was kind of helping me through, because I didn't think like my videos were like really, not all of them were always like super planned out content, just sort of getting on and having fun. I tried some planned out content and they did okay for the niche market of Valheim. And then, I have been thinking like, I wanted to start something else, another YouTube channel. So, I actually did, Gwen, I started a new channel called Jirox the Filmmaker, but I actually called it 4 or 5 different names because I was just trying different things and I made different videos over the last few months and never got any traction with any of it. And then went back to calling it Jirox the Filmmaker and then decided to do a couple of certain kinds of videos. So I wanted to actually, I have a, let's see, I wanted to show what the channel looks like real quick, just as a little aside. So
I love the photo.
I got to show my banner that AI created for me. I love that very extravagant cinema entrance. my new channel, I wanted to do videos where I recommend movies and shows. And I didn't want to do anything negative. A friend of mine said, "Hey, you want to go see this new movie that was coming out?" And I was like, "Oh, it's got really bad reviews. I probably won't do it." He said, "I thought you were doing your movie channel. You'd want to put it on there." He said, "No, I only do stuff that I like because I want to put out positivity." there's enough negative reviewers out there who bash content for not being up to what their standards are. But so I wanted to recommend movies and shows and then do like sort of movie analysis things for certain things that I was interested in. And really, it's the hot topics, right? Like if you follow gaming channels, whatever is the new big game, a lot of them switch over and start doing content for those new big games. And then if another game comes out, they'll just switch again. They may come back, but there's only a few of us that kind of like stay in our niche for the most part, may venture out a little bit. So Dune is super huge. So I decided to make a Dune video and I made this one here and that was my thumbnail. And it's maybe a little small, but it just says Dune. It's got a picture of the spaceship and it says, "I want to see them" in the thumbnail. Then the other one says Dune Part 2 and it just is a picture of some weird alien looking thing. But they're both, it's funny, they're, Gwen, this is how I did my A/B testing, was with those two videos down there, because I don't have access to the A/B testing where you use a different thumbnail and then YouTube tries all the different thumbnails, and whichever one gets the most traction, then they lock that one in. I don't know who has access to that, because even on my Jirok the Viking gaming channel, I don't have access to it. Mm-hmm. So the difference between the two videos, you'll see one here, it's 6 minutes and 51 seconds, and the other one is 9 minutes and 40 seconds. It's because the 9 minute, 40 second one is a 2 minute introduction of my like history when I was a teenager, young teenager, and I just saw the first Dune movie from 1984. And then I have like this really interesting analysis of why the guild navigators don't show up in the movie, in the new movies. And I cut that out for this version over here. So it's only, you know, it's minus my little backstory. So I don't know if people like my backstory or they just like that thumbnail better for clicking, because the first week, neither one of those videos got hardly any hits, less than 100 in the first week. And then a week after that, this one hit 103,000 views and this one hit 37,000 views. So they both.
I have to say, I'm subscribed to this channel. I've gotten zero notifications for any of these videos.
I know, isn't that weird?
the subscriptions, the way YouTube notifies is so random. Like, I got a notification on that video this week, even though you posted that video last week. And YouTube just decides when it pushes out. Notifies mm-hmm. people. It's not immediate. It's not the same day. It's like sometimes a week later. It's very strange.
Yeah, the first week nothing, because they've been out for 2 weeks, and the first week like nobody watched them, and then all of a sudden it's shoop.
Yeah, well, letting you know that. It's not you. It's
YouTube.
Yeah, and it's the same with live streams. It's the same with live streams, which is even more aggravating, because the whole point of a live stream is that it's live and you want people to go on it while it's live. Right. But I've had a lot of people like come into my stream like an hour after I started, saying, oh, it's weird, I only just got the notification now. And it's like, they're subscribed. Some of them even have like the little bell thing to be notified, like to get the notifications immediately. And it's just a weird YouTube thing. So YouTube, if you're watching, which you're not, listen to your creators and fix it.
when you subscribe to a channel, that does not guarantee that you will get any of the content from that channel. You have to click the bell notification. That helps. But they really just go off of what you have been watching and then recommend similar content with the random, you know, YouTube subject that they'll throw in every once in a while.
So what you're telling me is I need to go in and watch each of these videos like two or three times, and then maybe I'll get your notification.
Absolutely. If you watch these videos, then maybe they'll recommend them to you. Yeah. And so one of my most exciting things that I wanted to do for this channel was every week I would look up things for me and my friend to watch. He has a day off every Friday. So we're like, okay, what's new? I would do like an hour or two of research every week so when he came over, we had something to watch. So I decided, why don't I put that into a video? And so my first video, which only got 925 views, but for a channel that literally started 2 or 3 weeks ago, that's actually not bad. It didn't go viral like these did, but I did Coming Soon or Coming to March Netflix in March 2024. And so I'm already working on my Coming to Netflix in April 2024 video, and hopefully they start to grow. But and I saw a really great independent movie here called Love Lies Bleeding, if you guys should check out. There's the Hulk on here because there's an artistic semblance of the Hulk, but it's not a Hulk movie and it's not a superhero movie. It is a great little drama romance story between these two women. It's an amazing film. It's an amazing film.
You know, I've heard about that film.
It just came out last weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, not this weekend, but the weekend before of this recording. So great. And yeah, I've only got 7 videos up. And it's so funny. These are actually the same video. I think I'm going to do this more often as my A-B testing, Gwen. I think I'm going to record like a little slightly different intro for each so I can use different thumbnails and then put them up. and see how they do. I mean, eventually my subscribers aren't going to like it because they don't want to see the same video, you know, but most of these, like it said something like 90 some odd percent was just from, like 99% was from YouTube recommendations for views. So.
Well, especially if the channel is new, but as you start getting more and more subscribers, then it will be a bit trickier to do. Well, maybe, maybe you can do like the short edit, the radio edit, and the longer essay version. Because I know a lot of people enjoy those long videos, the like in-depth analysis and so on.
And I love the longer ones because like I won't even watch the footage. I'll just listen to it like a podcast while I'm doing stuff because I want to hear what they have to say about it. So that's been a venture. And I've actually been working on two or three other YouTube channels and none of like a science one and a couple others that haven't had this success yet. They haven't even done this much right here, the 925 views that this one did. So it was exciting to have this channel take off and actually gave me ideas because that kind of content does so well. It gave me more ideas for more content like it. So that it's exciting to try new things.
Yeah.
Plus, I want to keep my gaming channel going. And when we get to Valheim, I'll show you a viral video for Valheim was 8,000 views. Like, that's viral for Valheim, but viral for any other channel, you know, it's like 100,000 plus, you know, for those mass appeal channels.
So quickly also, like already 300 plus subscribers and only 7 videos. Channel's been up for what, like a month? Not even that?
Three weeks. Yeah.
So it's pretty good. So if you're watching this and you like movies, make sure you go check out Jirok the Filmmaker and go subscribe and hit the bell notification because we've established that the subscription is not going to notify you in due time. So
my bookmark. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say also, so I haven't watched Dune yet. So have watched the videos as in I let them run in the background.
Well, you can actually watch them. They're spoiler free.
Oh, they are? Okay. Yeah. Okay, so maybe I will pay attention.
I make vague references.
I'm yet to watch Dune, the new movie. But I did watch the Netflix recommendation one. Was really good.
Did you finish that show you started?
The Gentleman? Yeah. Not yet, because it's weird. It's like I'm trying to free up time to do things. I need like some crafting and things that I need to do. So like for me to just sit in front of the TV and watch TV series, I always feel guilty because it feels like it's a time sink, even though I enjoy doing them. But it's kind of on and off with, it's the same with gaming. I will have phases where I'll just game every day. Well, that hasn't happened in a long time, but you know, I'll do something every day and then I fall out of the habit. But I have watched I think half of the first season of The Gentleman, and I really liked it. I really loved it.
We should talk about that, Gwen, because you said you feel guilty when you watch something because you're using that time and not doing the other productive things that you want. So same thing for me for gaming is how I started a gaming channel, and so now I can watch more movies and shows because I have a channel where I could do something with it. I have some ideas for you how you could watch and then turn that into a channel. And I can link you some other channels that are making a lot of money doing that. You know, turning what they love and viewing stuff into content. It's exciting if you're interested.
If you ever on Jirok the Filmmaker, we've talked about this a couple of times in the past, but if on Jirok the Filmmaker you ever do a review or critique of the Star Wars movies,
it would have to be the first three because I only want to put out positive content.
That is true.
Did I accidentally badmouth all the other Star Wars stuff by saying
that? I mean, you know what? After the new trilogy, the prequels, I
almost look good now.
For the meme value. I appreciate them for the meme value.
The meme value, all the memes
that came out of the prequels are. But
What are you trying to say? You don't like sand? because it's coarse and it gets everywhere.
Get everywhere. Yeah. Best quote.
Okay. Well, let's see what else we got. So, Ark Survival Evolved. They released a new Ark Survival Ascended, which looks amazing. And actually, it's a really fun game. But the story behind Ark, like I always thought Ark was just like, you start off as like a caveman and you fight dinosaurs and there's some like magical stuff that you come across. Come to find out that the word Ark is literally, it's a sci-fi game. You live on an Ark in space orbiting the Earth, one of hundreds or thousands of Arks, and all the animals and plants and everything on there are just there to, keep alive those species so that eventually they could be repopulated on the Earth. That's like the whole backstory of Ark that I didn't even realize until I started playing and looking up videos and stuff. But Paramount Plus is doing a new series or an animated TV show.
I just saw this trailer. I want to see it with you guys, but like, I just saw this trailer and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I'm not into the games. There's just something about the aesthetic. I'm also not really, I'm still going to play Power World because you gifted it to me, J-Rock.
Yes, awaiting.
But I have it. I know. There have been so many games to play. Yes. But I have to say, I'm not normally into like the pet keeping games. And so I've watched Ark be played and I'm just like, meh.
It's a lot of pet keeping. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, not my thing, right? But I will say that they caught my attention with this.
Yeah, I
was shocked.
Yeah, I'm not big on watching animated stuff usually, mainly because I always miss out on the emotion of that a real actor brings to the screen. But if it's done really well, I can enjoy it. And so far, you can see I started episode one right here. It's actually really well, drawn out or whatever. You know, the animation is really fun. The story, it's exciting and it moves. And they've got a lot of celebrity voices in this show. So if animation is your thing, might try this out. I just thought it's related to gaming. And I had heard about this a while back. So it finally came out. You have to subscribe to Paramount Plus to watch, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm subscribed to Paramount Plus because of Star Trek. But
yeah, they have so many good things on Paramount Plus that and Showtime, too, is on Paramount Plus if you are interested in Showtime and A24 films. Most of A24 films are available there, which I would say at least a good half of them are like top quality, excellent, excellent films, which is that movie I recommended on my on my filmmaker channel, this one called Love Lies Bleeding. That's an A24 film, and it's really, really good. But yeah, so I'm excited to watch some more of this, and I might even cover it on my filmmaker channel once I watch some more of this.
Yeah.
The old style looks pretty cool.
Yeah. It's really fun. Let's see. What else do we got? Oh, Baldur's Gate 3. Did you hear any of the news morning?
Yeah. So, yeah.
There's a bunch of like big gaming conventions going on right now. Like they just had the Game Developers Convention here in San Francisco. I think they had PAX recently.
Yeah, PAX East at the same time.
Yeah. And so a lot of the game developers were doing interviews and talking and putting out stuff. But for those of us who have really enjoyed Baldur's Gate 3, there is not going to be any DLCs for the game. And their reasoning behind that is because they want to give you the game as a whole experience, and it's always yours. You own it and you don't have to pay for anything extra. So whatever they add to the game, it'll just be, fixes and tweaks. And they already, kind of redid the ending, right? Like they fixed the ending. They added some more stuff to that. That could have been, with another company, a DLC. So no DLCs, no like extra content to extend it. You just get that one game. And really, with the way that you can get different characters, classes, races, and make different decisions on with the role-playing dialogue, you can have a different experience through a lot of the game.
Yeah. I have mad respect for them for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely deep respect. The fact that any new content that you get is just going to be patches, and you don't have to pay any more money to have any further or deepened experience and love of the game. And the fact that they have such a huge game that people have now already hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of hours in the game, and they've had, you know, so many different stories and experiences so far. And, you know, even someone trying to have every single possible iteration of all of the experiences, I don't think it's happened yet, right? Like,
well, I remember him saying something like 15 to 20% of the content, less than 1% of people will experience, because
right,
it's like these little decisions that most people won't make. But if you make it, you'll experience something really special that a lot of people don't. So that's kind of like an Easter egg that you could go back and play again and maybe make a quirky decision that you didn't make before.
Yeah. So I have mad respect for them for that.
And you've been still playing that on Twitch, right? You have Baldur's Gate going as part of your
Twitch. I've got my Dwarven Monk going. Oh, nice. I just got back to it because I put Nightingale down for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about Baldur's Gate and Larian.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate. So the other thing that they mentioned that's like sort of sad news, but maybe not actually sad news, is that there will be no Baldur's Gate 4, at least not from Larian Studios.
Yeah, so that was interesting. I saw that, but I didn't read any deeper into it. Did they say why they weren't going to do a 4?
I saw a clip where the head of their studio was talking about it and said there won't be any D&D content even. He said there will be no Baldur's Gate 4, no D&D content. And I think it's because they had to pay a lot for the license, right, to use D&D. And so they, you know, even though the Baldur's Gate 3 made probably a lot, you know, them a lot of money, and I hope it did because they deserve it, not as much as they could have then to develop the games that they want to in the future. So my guess is that they don't want to have to deal with licensing. And plus they have their own beloved IP, which is their Divinity series, which the games are very similar to Baldur's Gate 3. And so maybe they'll do another Divinity series, or they'll do something new with what they've learned from Baldur's Gate 3.
And, you know, honestly, with everything I've been seeing coming out of Wizards of the Coast and such, also not really surprised. You know, I feel like we have this beloved IP with D&D, and a lot of things that have been happening lately have been sort of feeling like I am not valuable to them except for the size of my wallet.
Yeah, from someone who isn't too involved in the in D&D and so on. I heard, was it about a year ago, they did a change that meant that any content creator using they had to reverse a change because the community outrage from the community was so huge, because like it just feels like whoever holds the license doesn't value the community as a whole and embrace the community as an enhancer for their business rather than
free advertisement, right? Like if we put out content for their thing, we make a little ad revenue, maybe we get some patrons who like the content, but I mean, we're using your IP as our visuals or our audio, but it's advertisement for your products. Like that's why most game studios don't mind if we use their footage.
You know, so I'm not surprised that Larian is making this decision. I also mad respect them for being like, hey, we created a great thing and it brought hundreds, if not thousands of people into wanting to play D&D IRL. And I love that that has created such an inclusive environment and attitude. And they did a really incredible thing. And it is sad that they don't feel that it was rewarding enough to work with the
Well, yeah, we don't know all the details. But
we don't.
He did say something in his interview about I don't remember exactly what the wording was, but my impression was that he felt it was either an article I read or something that he said where he felt like there was a lot of greed in the corporate gaming industry. Something like that. I forget exactly. Yeah, so please don't quote me. Look it up if you're interested.
Fair. Valid. But still, like I have respect for Larian. Like I'm not surprised. And I really look forward to seeing what they do in the future because they have a level of integrity that you don't really see in a lot of gaming studios. And I super value that integrity. And I hope that they can keep a hold of that in the face of anything and everything that they go through.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people talk about it too, and they're interested in going back and trying their other games before Baldur's Gate 3 because they must have some of that same, you know, gameplay and, you know, thoughtfulness for the player rather than, you know, just, you know, how much money can we make from you? But of course, like I'm always a big proponent of everybody who makes any kind of content that we enjoy that they should make money from it because it's work and they got bills to pay and kids to take care of. And, you know, then it also funds their future endeavors, which is awesome. I wish Larian all the best on their next game. And I know I'll be interested in at least checking it out whenever it comes out. Absolutely. But they did say something like 3 or 4 years. So,
I mean, yeah, like I usually don't like the top down
style
game, but I will say that I will be paying attention to Larian in the future. And anything that they put out will have my full attention and likely interest because I want to support that level of integrity.
Yeah. Yep. So there you go, Baldur's Gate 3. Check it out if you haven't, Gwen.
I'm trying to pare down the number of games.
I know, not add to your list. You can live vicariously through us.
Yeah. I know it's a game I'll enjoy whenever I decide to play it. It might be a thing for, you know, next winter when there's less outdoor activity happening.
Yeah. And the weather's only getting better, right? So already starting to do more stuff outdoors.
I'm about to have like a really busy summer, a lot of traveling, a lot of shows, some festivals and things. So it's the kind of thing where I don't want to start a game like that now because I'm going to be frustrated that I can't play it more.
Exactly.
But everything I've seen, you know, I often see little clips or like other people streaming it and so on. It looks amazing. Like the quality of everything from the animation graphics to the gameplay, to the stories, to the dialogues, to the voice acting. It looks so incredible. I will definitely play it at some point. Maybe I'll wait until it comes out, you know, on sale, on the Steam sale, and then I'll bite the bullet, get it, and sink hours into it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Maybe there'll be a Steam sale, and because we do have so many games, it makes it, you know, more affordable. Because I find myself buying so many different games to mess around with, and I still have, I think, half of my games list on Steam I haven't even tried yet, or it's like less than 5 hours. You know, I logged in and ran around and then got distracted by other things. So, so now we're going to talk a little bit about Valheim. We never really cover any Valheim stuff on this podcast, so I figure, why don't we do it for once? You know, just to see if anybody's interested in some Valheim stuff. You know, this old game that came out like 3 years ago. and still in early access after 3 years. But this Saturday, which was, 2 days ago, because we're recording on Monday, we did a server reunion. So over the last 2.5 years, we've probably had 300 or 400 people come, you know, through our server. And I started with a server called Jurox Viking Playground. And all those people came through. And, you know, moved on to other games, a lot of them. Some of them stick around. Some new players still coming in every once in a while. And we tried a bunch of different things. Like some things I wish I hadn't tried, some things I wish I had tried sooner, but like you opened up new servers and we did modded servers and we did seasonal servers and ended up closing the playground, which was the original server because everybody was playing on the other permanent server, which we called Runelands, and then the modded server because everybody was really into the mods that some of the great modders are putting out. And after months and months of nobody playing on, I said, well, let me just shut it down. Well, that was the wrong move because everybody loved the playground and there's hundreds and hundreds of builds on there. And and people wanted to go back to their old build. And we even have a system where you can log on. And if you want to take over someone's build so that, you know, it's still, it gets to enjoy somebody's, you know, time, then you can, you know, take it over. We just try to contact the original builder. And if they're okay with it or unable to be contacted, then we turn it over to you. But what comes with the Playground server is a resource server, which was our way to deal with the fact that for some reason, Valheim decided to not have things respawn or reset in their game, which I think needs to be in the game. Like, I love that Enshrouded...
At least a toggle thing, because yes. If you play solo, I get that it pushes you to go further and further out, and it's part of the exploration. And it works perfectly fine if you're playing alone or with just a couple of people and you like stop playing once you've reached the last boss. But yeah. If you're playing on a big community server, multiplayer experience with something a bit more permanent that is meant to last a bit longer than the normal gameplay, then it becomes very problematic. So I feel like it shouldn't be like in the standard game settings, but it should be something that you could toggle on. Yeah, especially for those multiplayer servers.
Yeah.
Yeah, something interesting that... Jonathan or maybe somebody else over there, but I remember talking to Jonathan through messages, and he said that we're now implementing this or whatever system, and now it gives the ability for the modders to create mods where in vanilla Valheim we can set anything to respawn that we want, which is awesome. The problem with that is we have to do each one manually, right? Mm. I just want everything. I want all fueling villages, all dungeons, you know, everything. You know, if you break a blueberry bush, the blueberry bush will spawn back in, you know, because it's gone. If you break it, that's it. But yeah, like, because I'm kind of spoiled by Enshrouded, right? Morning Darkness. It actually respawns too quickly there. They do it every 30 minutes. I wish it was like 24 hours or at least give us like, let me set it in the settings how long I want it to be, because 30 minutes is way too fast. And I dig that tunnel and then I go do something. I come back. Oh, my tunnel's gone. if Valheim and terrain resetting too should be part of that, like not just things respawning, but reset the terrain, reset zones. And the way the modders deal with it is the mod says if there are certain player structures within, you know, in a zone, then every zone around that one zone also won't reset. And then that way you have a 3x3 zone square that won't reset. So it doesn't mess with the player's build, but then everybody else will, everything else will respawn. Oh, we lost your video, right. Gwen.
Oh. I'm back. Yeah, sorry. I don't know what happened. My internet just froze for a second, but I am back. So hopefully
there you go.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm just going to leave that in so everybody knows the technical things we have to deal with. Just random internet stuff. But yeah, so would be nice if we had respawning Valheim stuff. But let's see what else we got. Oh, so something that's really awesome out there is a brand new Valheim RPG map. And if you haven't heard about this, MD, you want to explain what this is a little bit?
I don't know if I can faithfully. Like, it's I'm huge. Excited about it. I've seen bits of it. Darkhair and Ninebite spent a bunch of time. And, you know, it felt It felt a lot like, you know, what you had originally been trying to do with seasonal servers. But they just, you know, they dove in and spent a huge chunk of time putting together a world and using mods and using all these things, adding NPCs, adding story, adding bosses.
They added quests.
Adding quests, yeah. So, like, I mean, there are a couple of things out there that right now, Crumpak has been doing a deeply modded Valheim beta test. And for me, that's like too much mod. Like, it doesn't feel like Valheim anymore. Mm-hmm. Personally, like, I think it's beautiful. And I think what he's doing as a single person is incredible.
Two.
It's just
Dakar and Ninebite.
No. For Crumpak.
Crumpak, the RPG version, Crumpak. The modded version.
The modded version. But for this, it's an RPG version of Valheim, but it's still, you can play it without mods. You can play it fully vanilla. And so they've just added content to Valheim. And I don't feel like it has changed the game significantly. And I'm so excited for this. I haven't gotten to dive into it enough yet. All I've done is watch their trailer, and I've watched a little bit of
you and Asmongold both watch the trailer.
Oh gosh. And I've done a little bit of I've watched a little bit of gameplay from a couple of people, but I don't want to spoil it for myself. So I've been kind of just, you know, lurking places where people are doing that, but it looks really cool.
Yeah. What's interesting is we tried to do this on our server, and we did a version of it, but we actually didn't have as many modding tools available back then to do some of the things that they're doing now. But they're using all the vanilla mechanics that we have access to now and creating a huge experience, like I said, quests and puzzles and all kinds of interesting things and builds around the world. So yeah, if you're interested in playing, you don't need any mods. You go to their Discord server, they have a link, then you can download the map and install it in your world and just in your game and start playing.
Yeah, the amount of hours of work that must have gone into that is incredible, because I know for the seasonal servers how much work that took back then. Multiple people working on it, building the builds, testing and testing again. You know, like it and as, especially as there's so, if there's a lot of mods involved, then it's also the communication with the modders, because you need to kind of almost like work with them to make things work in the game as you want to or for that purpose. So a very commendable work from Ninebite and Dakar Mechanicus.
Both
amazing content creators on YouTube. They're both incredible builders. I think Dakar, we've showcased some of his builds before. Like they create like huge sculptures in Valheim.
Yeah, like a giant dragon or,
And Ninebite is another great, great builder that does a lot of tutorial builds and things like that. I am probably going to try it at some point. It looks amazing. The work that they've done, and looks like they're getting a lot of attention as well. They got attention from Asmongold, which obviously boosted and drove a lot of players to them. But a lot of other content creators have been testing. And so now it's in beta, right? They're gathering feedback and they're just beta testing.
Yeah, they want to find any bugs or, you know, problems that might be, because they're, you know, using a lot of the in-game mechanics. So they're taking feedback. So if you play, please provide feedback. They have a channel on their Discord just where you can submit feedback. And yeah, I think they want to release the official version 1.0 of the map in a few weeks, and maybe we even have them on the podcast. I've spoken to them. They're interested. So we might have them on the podcast to talk about the map and the process.
Soon.
Yeah. Because it reminds me of what we did. Like I had three or four people help me, and we spent hundreds of hours on our seasonal map doing the same thing, except the difference is we didn't have as many tools back then that we have today. And they've used all the modern tools from mods that allow them to tweak the world just the way they want. And it'd be exciting to hear from them and what the process they went through. But so that said, we also got a Valheim public test branch patch that went out, and I think it went out like the day after we did the last podcast or something.
As is tradition.
Yep.
Right.
As is tradition. Always on the Wednesday after we record.
Yeah. So here is the patch, and quickly cover a couple of things in the patch. So they're doing a Unity engine upgrade. They're doing major changes to how locations and dungeons are loaded to improve performance. And I think that the way that right now, when you go into a zone, you have 20, 30,000 instances. It's just loading everything in the area. And I believe the way that the new loading system will be is it only loads what you can see. So things you can't see, it won't load. And Gwen's video dropped out again. So I think that that's what they're trying to do. So hopefully this should make builds with more instances, and she's back, less laggy. So we'll see. We have tons of big builds on our server.
With
we can
my
test.
Giant tree house.
God, yeah.
So painful for some.
You mean the giant lag house?
Hey.
The laggiest tree in Valheim. But it's cool. So maybe this will fix that.
I hope so.
And of course, always bug fixes. I got a few other things that I highlighted here. Naturally spawned beds can now be removed using the hammer. So, they never responded like a regular bed before, right? You had to actually hit them with your axe to break them.
Yeah, but you could break the pre-made chest,
right?
Oh, it was
beds. It was weird. You had to pickaxe the bed because you can't even once they finally introduced the middle mouse button axe, like that was good. But for a while there, it was impossible to remove those beds from those little pre-generated huts.
Yep. Yeah, you can't swing that axe. You couldn't swing the axe down before.
And you couldn't repair them either, right?
Nope.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so you couldn't even like repurpose them, use them as your own bed.
Yeah. Turnips got some love. Turnip inventory stacking fixed to match other vegetables. Why they hate turnips so all this time, I don't know.
Right? Right? The turnip bashing was just not fair.
Yeah.
But now you can put them on item stands. They stack properly. At least once the patch goes live.
Yeah. And they mentioned that somewhere, I think, that this patch is important for to get all this stuff out and tested before the Ashlands comes out.
Yes.
So hopefully this is gearing up for a public test branch Ashlands patch soon-ish. I mean, they still technically have 2 more months or 3 more months, April, May, and June, if they're going to make their June deadline. Low disk space warning improvements. Now, this was obviously a problem. We've experienced it when we're recording the podcast, too. If you don't have enough room on your disk when you try to save your game or your podcast, then it doesn't save because there's no more room on the disk. So they've got some warnings here. And if you play on Xbox, you can now find your friends on the store or via the friends tab in the server browser. So that's all good. Elder no longer spawns on his altar. I'm not sure why they changed that. So I guess he's going to spawn on the terrain off to the side. Any idea why they might have done that?
Is it more like what they fixed with Bone Mass getting stuck in trees kind of thing? Of it's maybe. Still random where he spawns, but he won't spawn on the actual build pieces themselves so that he doesn't get stuck up there. And because I wonder if he's like actually, above floor level, when he sends his roots and stuff, do they spawn in weird places? I wonder if it's related to that. I don't know. I've never had that.
I've never had that happen either. He's always spawned on the sides. So
I had way more instances of bone masses being stuck in strange places.
Yeah. Yeah, so whatever the issue was, I guess now he, well, when this patch comes out, he won't be spawning on his altar. Let's see, they also have fixed a bug that caused 2 days to be skipped instead of one when only Xbox clients were connected to a dedicated server.
Interesting.
I guess if you slept and you were just Xbox players, 2 days went by, so your world count's just going up faster and faster artificially. Let's see, fixed gap when placing banners.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you definitely want to make sure that it's easier to place your decorations. Fixed items no longer move in the inventory UI when upgrading them. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Jumping to a new spot in the inventory.
Oh, that's so, I'm so happy for that.
Especially when you have a bunch of stuff in your inventory and you upgrade it and you come back to look for it. You're like, where did that thing go? Because it's just like, there's so many things that you got to look through each spot to find it again, because it would have jumped into a new spot. Let's see what else we got. Fixed issues with boat ownership when a client gets disconnected.
Yep.
And then boats no longer suddenly stop when ownership is transferred or a player is accessing the boat storage.
So the handbrake open to storage isn't going to work anymore.
No, it's not. I mean, I get that it would be nice to be able to access storage without stopping the brakes or stopping the boat. But at the same time, that handbrake is so handy.
Because normally you'd have to jump off, right, to get that instant stop.
Yeah, we're going to have to go back to jumping off the boat to stop it.
Yeah. What's a problem, too, like if you're sailing to get somewhere and somebody accesses the inventory because they want to take something or put something, like the boat stops every time. You don't want that. The wind may only be blowing in the right direction for a short period of time and change on you. Sails are now blowing in the correct direction compared to the winds. So I guess the sail didn't used to follow the wind. It would just do whatever it wanted.
It did, but okay. I guess maybe not always.
Yeah, some detail of the sails, I guess they felt weren't correct, but now they should be. And then dealing knockback damage, knockback to an enemy in a slope no longer affects the player dealing the knockback.
Interesting.
So I guess if you knock them back, you would get knocked back or something too on a slope. I'm not sure exactly what was the problem there.
Yeah, I mean, I intuitively feel like I know what that's talking about, but I don't have any ability to describe it, so I don't know.
Yeah, you just have to experience it.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of other updates and fixes in here. Those are just some that I felt would be fun to highlight, so if you're interested,
you could stop
the video or go look it up on Steam Valheim News. And then I don't know if you remember, but we talked about the new items that they have a Kickstarter where they've made some basically like cosplay props and other little things that you can buy that are Valheim related. Well, the company doing this, Heroic Replicas, released this little video of using the sword. This is the what's this sword called? Do you remember?
Oh yeah, that's the Mist. Mistweaver, yeah.
Mistweaver, yes. Well, check out this video. Mistwalker.
Mistwalker, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Check out this video. It's big. And strong enough that you can hit something with it.
I didn't realize it was actually sharp. I thought it would be blunt.
I thought it'd be a little more like of a prop. So if you hit something like that, it might have broken it. But look at this. It's hard enough. You can actually cut into a log with it. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, but I want to see, does it scratch it when you get it out of the way?
Oh, yeah. They didn't show us that. But I mean, they must have tested it before they did this.
That's okay. I have a little bit more mad respect for that.
Yeah, now I want one more than I did before. I want to hit stuff.
I was going to say chop wood.
Yeah.
So does that mean the crystal battle axe you can actually use firewood?
I don't think so for that one. So yeah, that's a fun video. But then, so recently they also released a couple of new merchandise items that are available on their website, and it's new plushies. Yes.
The troll head is hilarious.
Yeah.
The troll head is hilarious. I find it interesting that they release the neck with the different coloration, but they also released a full-sized plushie on the Kickstarter. Like, I thought that was an interesting dynamic between the two. But I love the Lox plushie so much.
Yeah, he's cute. Look at his little big old tongue sticking out.
It's so cute.
It looks like he'd be very soft, fun to pet.
Oh. Yeah.
But yeah, I think the style of this one is slightly different than the Kickstarter one, and even slightly different style than the Etsy one. But there you go. If you are into plushies, they have some plushies. And I think you can get this directly from their store. If you go to valheimgame.com, they have a link to their store. And then, so Iron Gate was at GDC recently, which was here in San Francisco near MD and I. We saw them last year. We had dinner with them. Unfortunately, they were doing talks. I think they had a booth.
They're so busy this year.
And they're so busy that we weren't able to connect with them and to coordinate our schedules. So we weren't able to hook up with them this year. But here's Jonathan giving a lecture at GDC. And it looks like he had a pretty decent turnout. And I think you can watch the lectures from GDC if you subscribe to I think you have to pay for it. There's some subscription, something, membership you can pay for to watch all the videos from GDC. And then Grimcore was there. And this looks like in the...
You're not sharing the screen.
Oh, there you go. Not see this one? Yeah, oh, there he is.
Yeah, we missed that one.
Yeah, so there he is. And actually, if you look in the front row here, there's Grimcore.
Yeah, you see a whole bunch of the team.
And there's, I can't, is that Luma? That might be Luma and some of the others there. Okay. Yeah. I guess I don't know them well enough to see, but I think that's Luma. But yeah, yes. I'm guessing that there are some of these are the Valheim crew. They did say they had a lot more. Last year was just Luma, Grimcore, and Jonathan.
Right.
And then Grimcore, this looks like they're out on the show floor. So they had a Valheim banner up, and I don't know if they were actually had a stand up or whatever, but...
I think they were on the Unity booth.
Oh,
I saw a post about the Unity booth having the Valheim people being able to come and test and play Valheim
on their booth.
So that might be what it was.
Yeah. And let's see. Oh, so this next thing Jonathan released was this video, another video of growing vines in the Ashlands. It's a little dark, but you can see the red vines growing up that wall there.
They actually grow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I remember seeing a lot. Oh, yeah. Look, it went all the way up to this little section up here, too, and covered that. So
what is it? Just a shade of a tree?
Well, they're red. Yeah, these vines are red.
No. Look, there's like a, looks like a tree.
I think it's a shadow.
Is that the shadow of a tree, or is it the actual, this is how you place?
Yeah, I think it's a shadow of a tree.
No, I think that's the vine.
Yeah, I don't know.
It looks like a shadow.
Oh yeah, the vines are only growing up where the shadow tree of the shadow is. Yeah. So maybe that has something to do with it. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. And then Smithay released... Smithay released just recently this image of the red vines in the meadows.
Oh, that's gorgeous. That's so pretty.
Isn't that beautiful. Cool looking? So
I hope they make the green vines available too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really hope they do.
I mentioned on their Discord, that I hope that they're available. And Smiffy chimed in saying, well, you're going to have to try it. So that's it. You know, it's not like it is there, but we'll have to try and see.
There's something at the bottom of, like, on the grass there. There's some, like, brown bit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where you plant the seeds, like, roots. Or the root.
Yeah.
Yeah, something's going on there.
Interesting. Yeah, maybe that's a good point to mention both our videos that we released about the Vine news. Like, the only Valheim news video I've done in like a year and a half. And it's about the bloody vines.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your video, Gwen.
Wait, before you do.
Yeah.
I just wanted to quickly touch back to the plushies. I actually clicked on the link to the store to look at how much they cost and how big they are and stuff.
Yeah.
The Lox plushie is like 60 centimeters or like 2 feet. It's 24 inches in size.
Pretty big.
But it's for $80.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. The Lox plushie is 80 and 20 and 70. The plushie
is. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that we looked at those too. I still kind of want that Lox plushie.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure your kid can ride it. That's like perfect size for a kid to sit on it.
No, he would. He would totally use that as like his toy that he could ride.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure if anybody donates one of those to any one of us here, we'll all be willing to show it on stream. Definitely.
Hey, look at this coming up. Beautiful background. It's missing a lox, I think. My address is, not that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But Gwen did a video about the vines, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about and that video, Gwen.
Yeah. So the really the only reason I did that video is because I did another video about that 2 years ago when we interviewed Grimcore in April 2022 on his birthday. He came onto our server. And we did like a big interview and everything. this is really disturbing. So we did an interview and it was actually Morning Darkness and I leading the interview because Jirok, you were
in the hospital.
Yeah, in hospital. And one of the questions we asked was, will we ever have plantable vines in Valheim? And he answered that question and I made like a video about it at the time with his response and speculation. And when the news came out, I was like, okay, I feel so vindicated. I want to like get that footage back out and do another video about it with now the news. So that's what I did. I did like a short video. And I had a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, you did.
Made it a bit goofy.
Looks like he got some attention too on that video. Yeah. Almost 4,000 views.
Yeah, it's actually now my most viewed video. It used to be the how to pronounce Ektir, which is also a clip from that same interview because we asked Grimcore how it's pronounced. it was fun to make. I made it really quick as well. Like I decided on the day when I saw the X post about the Instagram post with the vines. I just I was meant to be editing my other video project thing that's still underway, but then I saw that and I was like, oh, I kind of want to talk about it. I'm excited about this, so.
So
made that video and as you said, I did there were so many, you know how it is when you're recording yourself and editing, there's a lot of moments where you trip up on your words and things get a little bit goofy and stuff, and I had so many outtakes. I was like, you know what, since I launched memberships recently and I have a lot of new members, including yourself, Jirok, thank you for supporting. I thought I'd make a fun little blooper reel for the members. I think they enjoyed.
Yeah, it's fun to see, like, because your video is fun. You do a lot of quirky stuff, so I can only imagine you did multiple takes and you put some of them takes in your blooper reels, and it's fun. I know when I'm recording, there's a lot of darn it, crap, fudge. But not, you know, the bad version of those. The other bad version of the euphemisms, but yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And it's fun. And you do that too. Like you're saying that, so you go, you know, you didn't mean you mess up.
Yeah, I try not to, because it takes me out of it too much. So yeah, I try to keep things rolling, but it's mostly my eyes rolling when I'm like, oh, I messed this up again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those were fun to make. And you also made a video about that same news, haven't you?
About the vines? Oh, yeah. I have it on my channel too. So if you want to know more about the vines, check that out. Of course, we right here with the one footage that Jonathan shows here growing up this wall, this is newer than my video. So that wasn't in my video. And so is this image, which just came out on the 25th. So today, this image came out today. And actually in the comments, I said, growing vines in the meadows confirmed. Because he's showing us in the meadows, right? Like, how mean would it be to not let us do this if we can't? And it looks so, like, being complementary colors with the green grass, it looks so cool. But yeah, that's the updates there. I did do a video that kind of went viral for, you know, Valheim videos.
It's funny. I have a little bit of beef about this video.
Well, so let me tell people what the basic video is. The basic video.
I love what you did.
Oh,
let me be clear. I love what you did here.
Yeah. So I got 8,000 views in 3 days. So not bad. But, basically I had a comment in my, one of my old videos was talking about how to get early find wood before you have your bronze axe, and you roll logs into each other and you know into the fine wood trees to break them. But he or she said in my comment section, you can also use gates to hit the fine wood and break it. And I thought, I don't know about that. So I just instantly logged on to test it. Do you have something to say about that, MD?
I think that you interpreted that in the most pedantic way possible.
Yes.
And I love what it resulted in. Love what it resulted in. But I actually posted a clip of the alternate interpretation of that and how it does work. But go ahead. Yeah. Describe
right. So maybe they meant, well, actually, so they did a follow-up comment when I said, because in the comment section, I said, oh, I'm sorry, I just tested the gate and it doesn't work. And and they posted a follow-up comment saying, oh, they must have removed that. So I think they meant that the gate opens and hits and breaks it or does damage to it. But in my testing, so the only thing that damages a log besides you hitting it is a log rolling into another log. You can't roll a log into a tree. It doesn't damage it. It doesn't, you know, when you roll it into a stump.
No, your video is rock. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it. But I actually, on the document, I shared a clip with you.
Oh.
Of my interpretation of that comment.
Which is probably how I did it at the end of mine. Let's see here.
Where you just use the door to open and launch logs into each other. So you still have to launch logs into each other. But if you're doing log rolling, I just actually killed the person I was playing with there.
Oh. Yeah, logs do damage players.
Yeah, but using the door to just, instead of rolling it yourself, and you do have to do some rolling yourself, but using the door to launch the logs into each other to have greater velocity. And that is my interpretation of use the gate to open the logs into each other.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe the other person had a different.
Well, so this is what I showed.
Yeah. This
basically, this. Yeah. Yeah. You just use a door to roll the logs into other logs, and that's how you damage them. And absolutely. So, yeah, I never did it this way. I always push them, which can sometimes take a while, you know, depending on where the log rolls. But if you can get the logs, you get a door there and just go bunk, bunk, bunk. Yep. Mm. So
way safer in controlled environments.
Oh, I have killed myself rolling logs around.
Well, as long as you don't have someone else running in between the logs while you're using the door to launch them into each other, it's super safe.
Yeah, like you killed your friend in the game rolling the log around. No, don't go there. I'm about to open this door. Oh. Yeah, so check out the video. It goes into some detail. I'll show you the testing that proves what takes damage and doesn't. That's why you can see all these numbers here on screen.
That was so brilliant. I love that you took the time to like really look at each possible way to do that. And I mean, it was really well done.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I just set it up.
Yeah, it was good to know because I thought that rolling them into rocks and boulders and trees would work. And whenever I was trying it with oak trees and birch trees, I always thought it was because, oh, maybe they're the harder ones to break and maybe it works with beech trees. But no, it's any trees doesn't work.
Yeah. I must have wasted 20 minutes, you know, when I'm doing fine wood collecting, rolling logs into trees, thinking it was damaging them. All it's doing is breaking down the next tree. Well, yeah. See this log here? I would roll this into a tree thinking that the log was taking damage, and it's not. All it's doing is breaking down the tree, making new logs, which then it hits those new logs and it finally breaks.
And that, yeah, exactly. That worked. So we all thought that this was working. Yeah,
you think it's working. So it's just like an accidental thing. I just tested a comment and the gate didn't work and then discovered this. So
that was really cool.
Yeah. It's funny how, you know, I think I have like 3,500 hours or something in Valheim and have done tons of mods and admin stuff and all this. And you just learn something new all the time. Like at the reunion where we did on our server. Gwen, what did we learn at the reunion? Do you remember? Can you tell us?
The funniest thing. So a player from the community, Deviant, learned this from Reddit, apparently. From the depth of Reddit's Valheim kind of subreddits, there is a way to speed up some of the animations, any animation, including the dance and the headbang animation, to the point where it's like it looks like it's two times the speed. And so you're dancing at two times the speed, and it's hilarious. We tested it at the end of the reunion, so it was like a dozen of us headbanging like crazy.
Wait, I missed this. How do you speed that animation up?
Here, I'll show you right now. There you go. So this is normal speed. This isn't sped up, and we're all dancing.
So the Kapalik who's standing at the forefront is doing the headbang at the normal speed. And Jirok is doing it at mega speed.
Yeah. So there's this trick you do basically where you click the middle mouse button to do the kick attack, right? When you have nothing equipped. And then you hit enter. And you hold the middle mouse button while you hit enter. So it stops doing that middle mouse attack because you have the chat dialog box open. Then you type in /dance and you hit enter and let go at the same time. Now, it's kind of hard to get the timing just right. You'll do it a bunch of times and it won't work. But if you get the timing just right, you'll start dancing at this super speed. And then you can change the emote while you're doing it. So you can start headbanging super fast and do any emote super fast. And that was Deviant showing us this glitch. And I bet you Iron Gate doesn't even know about this.
Don't tell them. So we can't tell them. We can't tell them. They can't fix this. This is too hilarious. We don't want them to fix this.
Amazing.
Yeah, look how fast they're headbanging. Yeah,
and getting whiplash. Look at that.
Oh my god. And they're all sweating too. Like, why are they all sweating? Oh, probably because it's raining for them, but not for you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why. No, because I'm like, what work?
It's a lot of work, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. I think it's because the middle mouse button attack is like probably a different speed. It's probably like a sped up attack.
Yeah.
It's a special attack, right? Because it's a special attack, maybe it kind of like changes the speed of attack or speed of animation, which then in turn, if you lock another animation into that, makes it look sped up.
Yeah, see, Capilec's going at normal speed there, just so you have the reference.
It was so weird. Because after like us doing this for 20 minutes, because we were having too much fun with it, looking at the normal speed animation made it look like slow-mo.
Yeah, look at that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't look right.
It looks so slow, doesn't it? Yeah, it looks so slow.
And then the dance super fast is funny.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
Ah, it's the little things.
Yeah, Devian, who is Irish, was saying, yeah, it's his river dance.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And we entertained ourselves for like a half an hour with this stupid mechanic.
Yeah. All right, I got to go. I got to go test this.
Then we had a lot of fun with something else thing that is maybe a bit more well known, where if you do a certain thing, if you move forward, I think when you lie down in bed to sleep, your character ends up being sitting up straight that on the bed.
Yes, I've had that one happen. Yes, let's see. I think I try it here. It didn't work for me. Try it again, and there you go. You're sitting up, and you press forward, right before you get up or something,
or before you lay down.
And then Deviant did something, and he started floating. We're not even sure how that happened. But yeah, weird bed mechanics. Oh, and then there was somebody was having a little too much ale as we got into this. And she passed out in front of the tavern here, leaning up against. So the way we did this is, you know that thing you sit up in a bed?
Yeah.
Well, so if you push the person off the bed, you can push them off the bed and then break the bed. Then you can push them anywhere you want around in the game. Let's see. I think there we go.
Wild.
See,
my God.
They're pushing her while she's sitting.
Amazing.
And they put her up against the wall. Rydia, and then they threw a bunch of drinks around here. I spawned in some barrels to make it look like she's passed out in front of the tavern.
That's so funny.
Oh, that we had a lot of fun on that reunion.
Yeah, we were. Rydia was a good sport about it all, too.
Amazing. I love that.
Ah, goofy things you can do in a game once you know it too well. But that's all that. Oh, and this is the kind of crazy stuff we do on our servers. If anybody wants to join us, just you could go to my website, jerocktheviking.com, get all the links. A bunch of them are in the description of the video. Come over to the Discord and play with us or talk with us, discord.gg/jerocktheviking. And participate in all of our shenanigans.
Oh, and there's another thing I want to mention also, along the same lines as it's not quite the RPG map level of work, but still so many hours, I think a whole year, that Erkinus, one of the original founders of the servers, or one of the people who joined first, has put in the past year countless hours building a whole treasure hunt on the Viking playground.
200 hours.
200 hours of putting clues in every kind of key community build, a lot of it is to do with the story of the server and the people involved as well. So it's like a lovely trip down memory lane, essentially.
Yeah.
With lots of clues in all the builds. Some clues apparently in some of Durok's videos.
Yeah,
and apparently some in my videos too, which I didn't even know about. I knew he was working on this treasure hunt, but so I started doing the treasure hunt with Rinia and Deviant during the reunion. And oh wow, it looks amazing. We have found so far just one of the clues, and there's 17 in total. And it will take you across the map, get you to explore lots of builds and so on. So again, there's so much that can be done on that Viking playground, even if you're new to the server. If you like treasure hunts and you want to discover and explore the map with all the incredible builds by, you know, doing a treasure hunt, join us.
Yeah.
Join us and have a look at it. It's really cool.
Yep. So come on over and say hi. Get in on the treasure hunt. And Ashlands will be coming out soon, hopefully next few months. And I'm sure that'll bring a lot of players back to Valheim. But all right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you for having
us. Yeah, thanks for having us.
And everybody out there, that's it for now. Have fun out there.
Bye. Bye.